We come now to the final section of Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. Once again, hear now God's word. And he, that is Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them, or did not permit them, to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. We are just at the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And in the previous passage we have considered our Lord Jesus Christ in a synagogue in Galilee as he preaches the word and holds the minds of the people in his hand. Demonstrating his great heavenly authority, he further proceeds to show something of his power in the casting out of a devil. Right in the middle of church. But he doesn't need any ushers to come and escort this troubled soul away, lest the people be distracted. No, he himself takes control of it. And says, silence. And he casts him out. Well, essentially, verses 38 to 44 are more of the same. More and more and more of the same. And not just within the four walls of a synagogue, but under the very open sun. In this passage, our Lord continues to demonstrate his identity as the Christ in the region of Galilee. By his numberless miraculous healings, his repeated conquest over devils, he is soon thronged, not surprisingly, by eager crowds who don't want him to leave from them. But the healings and the exorcisms, or the young people, the casting out of devils, these serve the higher purpose of his heavenly mission, that he may preach to them the kingdom of God. We might say that the Lord Jesus' star continues to rise in the region of Galilee. Consider, as we look at this passage, four points. We observe, first, more of Jesus' power. Second, more of his proof. Third, more of his pity. And fourth, more of his purpose. More of Jesus' power, proof, pity, and purpose. Jesus moves from the public assembly of the people of God, perhaps to have a Sabbath meal with his disciples, in the house of a new recruit, Simon Peter. Well, it just so happens that Simon Peter's mother-in-law had been seized with a great fever. We don't know what the underlying sickness was, but the body was doing everything it possibly could to bring things under control. Apparently, it was a very desperate case because they besought Jesus, that is, they pled in her behalf. He stands over her. He rebukes the fever just as he rebukes demons. She is healed. She gets right up and she just continues her business as before. On the very same day, as the sun is setting, as word gets out about what is going on, before cell phones and texting and social media, the word is just getting out, and people are getting all their sick friends and loved ones and relatives. They can't even bring themselves to Jesus, but they're doing what they can to bring them to him. All kinds of diseases, and Jesus touches them, every last one of them, and heals them on the same day. And there are more devils out there, more demons, tormenting, terrifying poor souls and their loved ones who are absolutely powerless. And though the devils, though they try to put up a fight, they can do absolutely nothing before the Lord of glory. His fame is growing and increasing. The people want to hold on to him, but he will not be detained because he must go into the other cities, not simply to heal, not only to cast out devils, but to do something that's even more important than these things, and that's to preach the kingdom of God. Observe in these things first Jesus' power. More of Jesus' power over bodily sicknesses and diseases. Obviously, the kind of sicknesses and diseases that could not be easily treated or treated at all. They did have doctors in these days. They did have medicine. But these were the kinds of people who had come to the end of their rope. Have you been in a situation like that? Even in the modern day, with all our sophistication and our technology and our development, for which we should thank God and use these things, yet there is still the terminal illness. These poor souls, they are sick, they groan, their bodies are racked with pain, they cannot sleep at night, they twist, they turn, they keep up their spouses awake unto all hours. The ripple effect of all the suffering and the torment, and the word gets out that the doctor is in. And he charges nothing. He has a power over bodily sickness. He says to the fever, to the sickness of Simon's mother-in-law, that it must obey him. He rebukes, as though the fever were a person. He rebukes it. Many different kinds of bodily sicknesses. We notice that people brought all types. You know, some sicknesses, even today, they'll baffle the medical establishment. We just don't know how to categorize this. We don't know how to treat it. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse or various diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. There is power. Oh, the power of Jesus over demonic torment. Certainly, casting one devil out would be an impressive thing. But devil after devil, demon after demon, the devils, plural, also came out of many on the same day. There was no struggle. There was no contest. He speaks the word. He rebukes them and does not suffer them. That is, he doesn't allow them to speak. He has absolute control. You have to get yourself in the sandals of these people, okay? What their loved ones were suffering was beyond anyone's control. And Jesus isn't looking over a scrap of paper with some magic incantation, making sure he gets it just right and looking up. And no, he doesn't need any of that. He just speaks the word. He rebukes. He has absolute authority. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Instantaneously and thoroughly, he heals. Simon's mother-in-law, she is seized with a great fever. He stands over her, verse 39, and rebukes the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. It was dinner time. Now, no one really cares about the food at this point, of course. But as soon as she came to herself, she was concerned about it. Thoroughly he heals her. Thoroughly he heals these people. It's not a long, drawn-out process. It's not take two of these and call me in the morning and take them again on Tuesday and again on Wednesday. And go and have this test. No, there's none of this. Jesus' power is displayed instantaneously and thoroughly by the means of a bare word or a mere touch. It's nothing, nothing for him to do these things. Don't you love Jonathan of old? How there are seemingly countless soldiers in the garrison of the Philistines, and it's just him and his armor bearer. And his father is trembling in his boots because of the Philistines, but what does Jonathan say? Let's go up and take this garrison, just you and me. And he encourages his armor bearer, saying, it is nothing with the Lord to save by many or by few. Dear friends, is this not the power of the Almighty, who spoke the worlds into existence with his bare word? In fact, is this not the word of God by whom all things were made? And he is restoring things to the order that he designed. Without even exhausting the source, a single drop. That's power. That's power, dear friends. There is no power on earth like this. Second, we have more of Jesus' proof. More of Jesus' proof. Now we do, as we'll soon consider, have a lot of public proof under the open sky, but there is this very sweet, very intimate proof that is given at the beginning of this passage. We go from the public gathering of the synagogue to a private residence. But it's not just this woman and our Lord, there's also Simon Peter and the rest of the family that's there. And the Lord of glory gives a private showing in the house of Simon Peter. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great, not a small, but a great fever. Boys and girls, no doubt she's laid out in bed. You put your hand on her cheeks and it's hot. She's probably sweating. Maybe she's taken at times with trembling. She's knocking on the very doors of death itself. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Just imagine being at that dining table. Everyone who's there has seen her helpless in bed, racked with a disease that no one can cure, and now she's serving them. That's proof. These things were seen. This wasn't made up. This was seen by real people who have real names. Who knows what Simon's mother-in-law thought of Simon getting involved with Jesus? Who knows what she thought about all of that? I mean, mother-in-laws are naturally concerned for the well-being of their daughters that they have given with their husbands over to this young man. And now he wants to leave the fishing business. Now, we don't know if she thought that, but she could have. Well, whatever the case may be, is there any doubt now? There is proof. And then we see outside that private residence, as the word gets out, it's not possible, even if Jesus wanted simply to stay in that house of Simon Peter. Everyone's thronging him. They're bringing sick people with all kinds of diseases to him. Some of them have devils possessed. And we read that many sick and diseased folk were cured of many different diseases. We have proof upon proof upon proof upon proof. Jesus is effortlessly demonstrating that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. All they that had any sick. Are you sick? Hurry up. With diverse diseases. It doesn't matter what you have. It's clear that he can heal anything. You mean even this? Yes, I'm pretty sure. Come and see. I'm pretty sure if he cast out that devil out of that poor soul that you know, and you know, and you know, that he can cure you of your sickness. Hurry up! It was obvious to all of these people who personally witnessed these things many victims of demonic possession became public monuments of grace. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Friends, this is out in the open. These things were not done in a corner. Jesus has given abundant proof. Jesus, young people, Jesus didn't write a single word, at least not that we're aware of. But he simply did what God had sent him to do and let other people see. And the word gets out. The holy gossip spreads as a leaven throughout the countryside. You must come and see this man. You must come and hear him. So much so that even Nicodemus, when he has an opportunity to visit with Jesus, and yet he's afraid because of what the other leaders of the Jews will think, he comes to Jesus by night and he says, "Good master, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." It's proof, friends. God has made you and me with minds. Religion is not just feelings, impressions, and experiences. It is also, in fact, in the first case, it is a thought. It is an idea. It is a reality. Friends, it is a history. You wouldn't let just anyone who claimed to be a police officer wearing plain clothes into your house unless he showed you his badge. Unless, perhaps, he showed you a warrant. Jesus has shown you, as he showed these people, he has shown you his credentials so that you will believe him, so that you will follow him, so that you will surrender to him. Who is there here? Who is there listening who doubts? Consult the witnesses. Consult the witnesses. No, they are not here, but they have left their writings. Come and search. Come, read for yourself. These people were so persuaded that they did not want Jesus to go. Oh, and many devils openly testified to Jesus, identifying him as the Christ, the Son of God. It's kind of a strange thing. We see it again and again, don't we? It's almost as though these demons involuntarily, they can't help themselves from openly confessing that Jesus is the Christ. And yet there it is. Witness after witness after witness, several of whom are fallen angels who hate God and Christ, but there it is. More power, more proof, more pity. Oh, the tenderness of Jesus. Friend, maybe you feel like no one understands. No one feels what you feel. No one has gone through the experiences that you have gone through. Well, even if that were true, and there was no one else in this world, Jesus, above all, can understand, and he, above all, is so full of pity and compassion. He comes into Simon Peter's house, and he is prevailed upon. They plead with Jesus. She's about to die. This fever has such a hold upon her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. We see something of the kindness and the goodness of Jesus, even in just visiting this house. Cyril, a church father, said, "Now see how Christ abides in the house of a poor man, suffering poverty of his own will for our sakes, that we might learn to visit the poor and not despise the destitute and needy." This is pure religion. To visit the fatherless, the widows, the sick, the suffering. Jesus doesn't despise even the house of the poor. No, he goes and he honors that house in his kindness, in his goodness. There is no hard-heartedness here. There is no calloused selfishness here. And consider, as everyone comes to Jesus, bringing them their sick, all that had any sick with diverse diseases, no matter how bad it looked or smelled. Let's face it. Sickness can be sick. But Jesus comes close. He sees the tears in their eyes. Himself bear our infirmities. And he touched them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So that at once we see the power of Jesus, who only used his hands to touch, not to do anything further than that, but that touch is further a touch of pity and compassion and humanity. We need touch. Even us chilly northern Europeans, yes, we need touch. God made us to touch and be touched in appropriate ways. I think part of the suffering, although it may not be as bad as other kinds of suffering that we've experienced over the last year, is the loss of touch. Not only can we not see each other's faces as freely and regularly as we would, but we cannot touch each other as we would. And Jesus knows that. And dear friend, if you are in a pitiful condition, Jesus is full of pity and compassion. He knows, and he cares. More than you care yourself. But fourth and last, Jesus' purpose. We see more of his power, more of his proof, more of his pity, and more of his purpose. He came to restore health. That's clear. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He came. He came to bind up, to restore, to cleanse. To restore health from bad, disordered health, health that has gone wrong. I think this is suggested in the very language of rebuking. You rebuke somebody when they're out of line. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Jesus demonstrates not just his authority, but the fact that he has come to set right what is wrong. The storm on the sea, he rebuked. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And so he rebukes this fever, and he rebukes the devil that is in this soul, and that devil, and that devil, and that devil. But friends, don't miss this. He didn't just come to be the greatest doctor that ever lived. For the body. He came to restore soul health. Because that's our greatest sickness. That is the malady of all maladies. The incurable disease of rebellion against God. The disordered mind. The disordered feelings and desires, the lusts, the envy, the greed, the hatred, the bitterness, the atheism, the ingratitude, whatever it is, that is the greatest sickness, dear friends. And that is what Jesus has come to restore. And you say, preacher, prove it. Well, I'll show you. Verse 42, when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that is, restrained him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. Now, what has preaching done for your body lately? Nothing directly, I would suggest. I am sure that this congregation represents many different kinds of infirmities, irritations, losses, injuries, chronic pain, all different kinds of things. You haven't come here as you would come to a doctor, have you? Well, Jesus could cure the body and did cure the body. And he can still cure the body, although he is in heaven. But this was his mission. I have been sent to preach the kingdom of God. It is the message that cures the soul. That is the primary purpose. All these things that I do, yes, it blesses you for a time, and then you get sick again and die. None of the people he cured on that day are here. They are rotting in their graves, if they're rotting at all anymore. Lazarus. Have any of you met Lazarus before? I haven't. Now, could Jesus have so cured Lazarus as to make him immune from death? Absolutely. Then why didn't he do it? Why was the doctor in only for 3 years? Why was he in only in Galilee, only in Judea, and not in Italy, not in Spain, not in Africa? Were there no sick people there? the diseased. They are the ones who need a physician. And the way he heals them is by healing their soul through the message about him. Now let us close with a few abiding lessons. The Lord heals, and the Lord delivers. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. He does it. Now, he doesn't only do that, he is also the one who sovereignly brings affliction and trials and hardships and pain and suffering and death into our lives. As Moses testifies, I, even I, am he, Moses speaking for God, and there is no God with me. I kill and make alive. I wound and I heal. So let's understand this in context. The Lord heals. The Lord delivers. But he is also the one who